KNOM Update News. I'm Zachariah Hughes, and it's 9:02. A federal appeals court issued an opinion yesterday saying the roadless rule should not apply to Alaska's Tongass National Forest. The rule was enacted nationwide more than a decade ago. It prohibits logging and other industrial activities in the national forest lands without roads. The Tongass Forest, the nation's largest, was granted an exemption that was struck down 3 years ago in U.S. District Court, and the rule was reimposed. The Forest Service did not appeal that decision, but the state of Alaska did. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals granted its request. Tom Lenhart is the state attorney involved in the case.
Removal of the roadless rule won't in and of itself increase timber harvest or mining or anything like that, but it will take down the barriers that are preventing some things from happening.
The Ninth Circuit Court's decision does not immediately lift the rule. It sent the case back to the lower court to decide whether additional environmental review is needed. Buck Lindekugel is an attorney for the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. It's one of the dozen groups that sued to bring back the roadless rule.
The reality is the decision does not immediately reinstate the Tongass exemption, and the Forest Service's actions have shown that it has no desire to go back to the damage, expense, and controversy associated with roadless area logging on the Tongass.
Forest Service officials referred calls about the ruling to the Department of Justice. The staffer handling the issue could not be reached for comment by this report's deadline. Plaintiff's attorney Tom Waldo of Earth Justice says the decisions won't change much. That's because the Forest Service is already moving away from the type of timber sales the roadless exemption allows.
I think that's where the future direction of the policy debate is going to lie, rather than trying to turn the clock back in time to fight the battles of the 1990s over whether we should be logging in roadless areas of old growth on the Tongass.
The state has a different view. Again, attorney Tom Lenhart.
We're hoping that the Forest Service will meet its obligations to seek to meet timber demand, and that we feel that some sale from roadless areas is necessary to do that. So I'm sure the state will continue to use every means available to encourage the Forest Service to take actions that will further a certain level of development.
The state, the timber industry, and other development groups have been pressuring the Forest Service to allow more logging. That includes a proposal for the federal government to turn over or sell some Tongass land. The Interior Appropriations Committee allocated $10 million to the Alaska Native Villages grant program recently. The program funds water and wastewater infrastructure projects in rural Alaska. It also provides technical assistance and training to sustain water facilities. Funds are distributed by the Village Safe Water Program, and their goal is to improve the public health through upgrading rural sanitation facilities. Senator Lisa Murkowski serves as ranking Republican on the committee that appropriated the funds. Murkowski's communications director, Matthew Felling, says the allocation is a success for the health of rural Alaska.
When you can get the government, you know, openly acknowledge that Alaska is unique, and Alaska has these basic needs, and they deserve to be delivered, because we are in so many ways still playing catch up with the standards that people in the lower 48 take for granted. The win for the health and sanitation needs of thousands, if not more, Alaskans.
The grant program began in 1995. Funding started at $15 million in its first year and peaked at $44 million a decade later in 2005. However, over the past 4 years, funding has shrunk to just annual $10 million annually, rather. Felling says in light of the federal budget cuts, the steady appropriation is still a positive.
We're facing over $17 trillion in debt, and we made the cut. So the fact that Senator Murkowski was able to secure the same amount of funding, the $10 million this year that she has secured for a number of years in a row, the fact that we can count a flat line as success is positive news for rural Alaska.
The Alaska Native Villages grant program has provided over $479 million to rural Alaska and Native Alaskan communities since 1995 and has funded 635 water-related projects. The Arctic is warming 2 to 3 times faster than the rest of the globe. As temperatures increase, permafrost melts, releasing carbon dioxide, and the vegetation growing season lengthens, absorbing CO2. However, a study being conducted by the Woods Hole Research Center in Massachusetts finds that the thawing permafrost emits more carbon dioxide than the tundra's vegetation can offset. Dr. Susan Natale is an assistant scientist at Woods Hole and the lead author on the study. She says permafrost covers one-fourth of the Northern Hemisphere's land and contains twice the amount of carbon that currently exists in the atmosphere. So even a small release has a major impact.
So the permafrost thaw is putting this at risk of, even if a small portion of this carbon is released to the atmosphere, it's a significant emission of greenhouse gases.
Natale says most models predicting future greenhouse gas aggregates do not account for emissions from permafrost. This research provides data on how this massive carbon sink reacts to rising temperatures.
So our estimates of temperature changes as a result of human inputs of fossil fuels isn't yet accounting for these additional carbon inputs that we may see from permafrost thaw. And this is a really large pool of carbon.
So large, Natale adds, it comes up to about 1,700 petrograms. Permafrost acts as a carbon cache because during the growing season, plants, through photosynthesis, remove CO2 from the atmosphere and store it in their tissue. At the end of the season, the plants die and freeze before they fully decay. So for tens of thousands of years, permafrost has been collecting this carbon-rich material. As long as the permafrost stays frozen, the carbon remains locked. But when the permafrost thaws, microbes begin breaking down the organic matter, releasing CO2 and methane. As these greenhouse gases are emitted, more warming occurs, spurring more thawing and decay and onward. Dr. Richard Houghton is a senior scientist at Woods Hole. He says the cycle creates an amplifying system.
Just think of it as a layer of organic matter, and it's frozen, not at the surface, but in the permafrost it's frozen, and as you're warming the earth, the warming keeps penetrating into deeper and deeper depths of this organic carbon, and so it's a large source ready to be released over time.
The research is in its fifth year on the Eight Mile Lake watershed in Alaska's northern interior. The team warms the soil with snow in winter and greenhouses in the summer. Automated gas chambers measure changes in CO2. And every year, thousands of eligible Alaskans pass up their share of Alaska's oil wealth because they fail to file their permanent fund dividend. The deadline to apply for the 2014 PFD is Monday. Dan DiBartolo is the director of the Permanent Fund Dividend Division. He says the March 31st date is a deadline mandated by the statute.
Which means it's in Alaska law, and we are only able to accept applications online or through the mail or at our counters through that date. Anything that is postmarked after that date is considered a late application.
DiBartolo says late applications can't be considered. The preferred method for filing for the PFD is online at www.pfd.alaska.gov. Alternative resources are available across the state to serve those who don't use the website, including over 400 community distribution centers. The Nome distribution site is located at the Nome Legislative Information Office on Division Street.
There you can pick up adult applications, child applications, instructions on how to fill out those applications.
March 31st is this coming Monday, which is also Seward's Day in Alaska. All state offices will be closed, but the U.S. Postal Service will remain open. To speak with somebody at the Permanent Fund Dividend Division about your application, call the Anchorage office at 269-0370. That number again is 269-0370. As part of filing for a dividend online, Alaskans can also use the Pick, Click, Give program to donate a portion of their dividend to charitable organizations. The program has been in place since 2009, and DiBartolo says the program has been successful.
We're standing at about $2.4 million in pledges right now, which is almost $200,000 more than the same point last year.
Once again, the deadline to file for your 2014 permanent fund dividend is this coming Monday. So far, over 507,000 Alaskans have filed for their 2014 PFD. And the price of gold in New York is down $11.20 to $12.94.60 an ounce. Silver down 5 cents to $19.69 an ounce. And zinc is just up to 89 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is scheduled to arrive in Nome on time at 11:40 a.m. Unofficially, 23 degrees outside the Canorum Studios, 11 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.